But becoming fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As they were about to part from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But he did not know what he was saying. While he was still speaking, a cloud came and cast a shadow over them, and they became frightened when they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my chosen son. Listen to him." After the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. They fell silent and did not at that time tell anyone what they had seen. The Gospel of the Lord. You've heard the saying, there's more here than meets the eye. There's more here than meets the eye. And one of the epistles is a reference to seeing with the eyes of the heart. To see with the eyes of the heart is to see something deeper than you would with 20/20 vision. So I think there's this message in the actual reading, not just the gospel, but in all three readings. Let's look briefly at them and make three points. In the first reading, Abram is advanced in age, his wife well beyond childbearing. And Yahweh tells him, "Your progeny will number like the stars." I wager that most of us haven't looked at the stars because we live in cities where there's a lot of light. My mother and father were farmers, and as kids, we used to go to my aunts and uncles' farms. And one of the things we loved to do at night was go outside, lie down on our backs, and just look at the sky. It was incredible what you could see. But they were in rural Ohio, not near any big city, and you could see huge numbers of stars. Well, how could this be? He's really old. And it goes on and says, "I would like a sign, you know." Now, sometimes when people ask for signs, they don't get any. But this time, Abram was lucky, and he got a sign. And if you notice the description, get a heifer, a three-year-old she-goat, ram, turtle dove, cut them all in half, and then keep watch over them. What's this about? Split all these carcasses. Think of contract law in the Old Testament as a bit more graphic than contract law today. It was a contract that was made, and the two parties that would go through these carcasses that are split apart were saying to each other that if I ever break this contract, may what happened to these animals happen to me. Cut me in half. That's pretty graphic. And that was the promise that was made to Abram. And in the process, there was a deep, terrifying darkness that enveloped Abram. So it's a vivid image of what a contract is, and what happens is something that's deeper than really can be understood easily. The second reading from Philippians, there's a contrast between people who make a glory of their stomach and everything else versus how we should have our focus on something higher, another image of change. And then the gospel, the transfiguration. Jesus is transformed. Moses and Elijah. Moses represents the law. Elijah, the prophets. So it's kind of like the whole Old Testament is summed up at this moment. Moses is the one who leads people to liberty, to promised land. Elijah is the one that made the Israelites into the real people of God, transformation and change. Poor disciples, once again, you have this image. they fall asleep, then they're fully awake, and then they go into this cloud where they're frightened. So once again, when the moment of change comes on some profound level, our understanding is not full by any means. So this suggests a couple of things to me. First of all, in all three readings, we have a theme of change. Most change for most of us, especially as we get older, is difficult. I turned 76 recently, and I love my own bed. I do a lot of traveling. I don't like it. I like getting where I'm going, but I don't like going. The only good thing about flying somewhere today is that I can read, because I certainly don't fit in the seats. But one of the things that I think is most important is that we learn how to accept the change. You've heard me say before, I like to say that wisdom in young people is treasuring a tradition. Wisdom in old people is openness to change. It's more difficult. We hearken back to the old ways, the old days, and so on and so forth. God is always doing a new thing. That's why I don't wring my hands to say the young number of young people that are not going to church and all of that these days, and what are we going to do? And I'm not even sure if my grandchildren are baptized. You know what I'm talking about? We go through that, and we could worry ourselves to death. We should be concerned, but not worried to death. Something is going on. That's not all bad and not all good. It's the way it's almost always been, with a mixture. So one of the first things is that we realize and recognize the need for change. Keep this in mind. Catholic education has always had three components. I mean, if you read the philosophy of Catholic education, one level is information. The second level is formation, and the third level is transformation. Think of information as you could have data, you could have even knowledge. Data is like internet, knowledge would be like an encyclopedia. So you get to know. That's part of education. You need to do that, reading, writing, arithmetic, so on. A second level is formation. Formation is not just, a lot of secular schools don't like this word because it sounds like something coming over and controlling. I mean, we want to make everything out of freedom. Formation, think of that as love. First knowledge, then love. You can know an awful lot and be unloving. You can have a PhD and be a jerk. Formation is growth in the virtues. It's not just skill, it's not just knowledge, it's formation, it's a growth in virtue. Learning how to love. Third level, transformation, is not anything you have control over. You can work at formation. You can develop skills and disciplines. You can learn knowledge. But when you talk about transformation, you're talking about something that God works in us. That's deeper. That's mysterious. And that's what's described, my second point, in the gospel. There is this moment of insight that they see, but they don't quite understand. Peter wants to create tents. He wants to freeze the great moment. He wants to have a picture and hold on to it. As soon as you hold on to it, you destroy it. It's like, I live with a man who loves to garden, and he plants flowers, and he does all this kind of stuff. And he made a remark once, some people are so impatient to see how a plant is doing, they pull it up out of the roots to take a look. It's doing pretty good, and they put it right back down. This is not smart. It's not smart. There is a certain kind of patience and a lack of knowledge that is needed. The third point I think I want to make is there's this mysterious darkness. I have a great urge to be in control. I'm a Midwestern German, for God's sake. I want to be in control. I want to have everything lined up, so on and so forth. On my desk, so on. To be open to not know exactly where it's going to go? How often I've heard people say, I don't know how that's going to work. Well, of course you don't. Open it up. Take the risk. I don't know if I say something to somebody, they might not like it. Well, I mean, as long as you're not cursing them, try it. Open up the relationship. Open up the door. In that process, where there is darkness, there is transformation. You notice in the gospel, it says here, it says Moses and Elijah were talking about the Passover and what was going to happen. Chapter 9 in Luke, it begins with a prediction of the passion of Jesus. And they say, who am I? It's not enough to know who I am. Are you willing to go on the journey? I'm tempted to talk about St. Patrick, but I'm not going to. I was going to wear green, and I let that go too. There's always someone in the liturgical police force who would report me. But I want to say to you, Patrick had a tough journey, and it was difficult. Let's not be afraid of change. Let's be open to transformation. And finally, when we come up, you're invited to the Eucharist. Talk bread and wine. There's more than meets the eye. These elements are transformed. They're taken into us so that we might be transformed. Be open to it. Believe in it. And you'll be in for a ride. Amen.